Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello everyone, I'm Danny Kelly and you're listening to the TalkSport Daily Podcast. Coming up on the pod today, we've got some angry managers, more VAR controversy, a bit of egg chasing, and the small matter of the world heavyweight battle between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And that's where we start. Here are the best bits from that exceptional performance from Tyson Fury with our very own Don McGuinness, Glenn McCrory and Adam Cattrall. Brilliant commentary live and exclusive here on TalkSport.
When these fans see this man's face, this place is going to go absolutely wild. The slight delay at this moment in time is because of the TV networks. Tyson Fury's face has just come up on the screen. I'm going to let you soak this in. This is the ring walk. He's dressed in regal robes. He's wearing a crown. The Gypsy King is entering the garden.
That is some suit, that, isn't it?
That, I have never seen anything like that. The eyes of the suit now have lit up in red neon lights. He looks absolutely ferocious. What happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. It's live and exclusive on TalkSport. Is it going to be bomb squad or is it going to be bomb disposal? Your commentary team tonight, live and exclusive on the radio, is Glenn McCrory and Don McGuinness.
The biggest fight in Vegas. It's on the end, and Wilder's down! Fury's got Wilder down! In the third round, the huge right hand from Tyson Fury. Oh my word! Fury's landed the biggest punch of his career, and Wilder's in trouble.
A Deontay Wilder, who's been down, who's been absolutely pummeled, and the towel comes in! The towel comes in! Tyson Fury is the winner in Las Vegas. Jay Reyes, he throws in the towel. Tyson Fury has done the remarkable. He has stopped the unbeaten, the ferocious Deontay Wilder.
I trained like a Trojan warrior. I put myself in a training camp for 10 weeks away from my wife and kids and family. We trained, me and my team, we worked on a game plan, we executed it perfectly. I told everyone who would listen, I was going to knock him out. No one believed me. Everybody wrote me off again. But you know what? That's how we roll, Gypsy King, baby. This is Las Vegas, but it felt like Manchester. You know, I just want to thank every person who came over to support me in this great, great triumph for British boxing. They supported me, they showed up. It was like, it reminded me of scenes of Ricky Hatton when he used to bring thousands over. I bet there's 20,000 Brits across here and people from all over the world to support me. And I'm absolutely humbled, you know. I started off as a villain and now I'm a fan favourite. And I just want to say a big love you to every person who came out tonight and supported me. And I said what I was going to do, and I said I was going to deliver a stunning performance. And I did. We're going to go out tonight, baby, Hakkasan.
He's done the showbiz. He's given us an unbelievable walkout. He's come out, put on an unbelievable show. He sang, he's entertained everybody. Now it's time to just go and be a family man. That's what he wants to do. You can see it on his face.
He's going to be a superstar now. Everybody's going to want him. He's going to be on every show.
He's just become the biggest sports star on the planet.
That's a big statement, but he's
the heavyweight champion of the world.
If he isn't, he deserves to be. It's as simple as that.
Everybody in America tuning in on two networks.
Well, you just have to see who was here, what Absolutely. The atmosphere was like here. It was second to none. And, you know, when you see the job, you know, he come out, you know, in a crown, you know, drawn out, carried out. You know, that could have backfired. He did that because he was so confident of his own ability and what he was going to do.
And it just shows. Forget Otto Wallin and Tom Schwartz.
he raises his
game
to the level of the opponent.
Every time.
And he told us, didn't he, both to you and I, Adam, listen, I can't get up for fighting people like Schwartz and Wallin, but he's up for this. We've seen it all week. He's never been as dedicated in training camp. He's never had Paris, but this is the first time he's been with Paris in 12 weeks. It's extraordinary. We have to celebrate this British sporting hero.
I said I'd sing a song tonight, didn't I? A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
You can now hear from Eddie Hearn, Anthony Joshua's promoter, on Weekend Breakfast on the potential for a unification bout between Fury and Joshua. Big, big thing.
First things first, let's get the fight, mate. And I think that it's such an easy deal to do. I've already spoken to Fury's advisors sort of since the fight, just talking about the fight and stuff like that. Everyone's on the same page. With Wilder, you know, whether people believe Wilder or AJ or whatever, Wilder never really wanted to fight with AJ. Fury does want to fight AJ. And I promise you, AJ does want to fight Fury. What a time for British boxing. I mean, to have one world heavyweight champion from Britain would be great. But to have two heavyweight champions from Britain with all the belts, we'll never see it again. We'll never see it again. And he deserves all the credit. It was brilliant.
This is myself and Simon Jordan talking VAR again on The Final Word.
Ultimately, nobody wants VAR driving the game, and nobody wants it, as Martin Samuels once said, which I disagree with vehemently, as a goal elimination or goal validation service or the ability to try and rule goals out. But the idea that a game can go on, Eddie Howe touched upon it about the psychological downside of being 2-1 at one moment and 2-0 down the next. You can't have a significant period of time between a decision, the team going up and doing exactly what you said earlier on in the season is going to happen, which is score a goal, and then that all being unwound. A referee has got to be engaged with VAR quickly, and VAR, we've got a potential penalty. And the referees, I believe, has got to stop the game. And if that decision is proven to be the VAR doesn't give the penalty or doesn't give whatever decision it felt that it needed to look at, then the referee will have to do a drop ball. And if VAR is intervening in a game too many times, then protocols will have to be looked at to be able to see when a referee can do that and when it can't do that. But when you've got a situation where literally, I don't know how long it was it nearly 2 minutes?
It was quite a while, yeah.
Between the situation being a handball and a penalty decision in the Bournemouth penalty box, going all the way up the pitch, scoring a goal, all the celebrating, and then being pulled back, I think it makes a little bit of a mockery of the whole engagement of a game, and I don't think it should be allowed. And I think the protocol of referees stopping a game, VAR can immediately say to a referee, we've got a potential penalty decision, and a referee can immediately stop a game.
I can't remember which Bournemouth player was it Charlie Francis? I can't remember which of them handled the ball, but the irony was it would have been disallowed if he'd handled the ball anywhere in the move, with a new thing that if a goal is scored because of a handball, it's disallowed. But of course, he does it in his own penalty area, but the upshot is also a penalty. Now, I know what the manager would say. We were on the break. I don't want the game stopped. But you'd prefer that to what's happened there, where you score and then get pulled back.
But I just wonder, and I don't know what you think, and it's an expression I probably overuse, but I wonder if by stopping the game when a decision is being made and taking away all of the controversy of a goal being scored, chalked out, and the devaluation of a team scoring a goal, if it doesn't add more integrity and more authenticity, if VAR goes, stop now, and then gets the decision quick rather than go through all of what we'd see, which is the dismantling of a team's adrenaline, enthusiasm, its psychological front foot. I know people can turn around and say, well, you have to get on with it. You're a professional sports person. You have to react to adversity. That's how you judge character. But I don't know. I think that stopping it before it becomes... prevention is better than cure, don't you think?
It's so hard to work this one out. I mean, I wish I had a concrete answer to it. I think the answer is, if it's taking more than 15 seconds to say, wow, that's a handball, then let it go. Because if it's taking a jeweler's eyepiece and two men and 60 or two women
it's
and 16
and
angles,
is what you're
it's
saying.
Not clear and obvious. Mm. Get on with the blinking game, which would take some of this danger out of it. But the struggle.
But
we're
it was
having,
a penalty, though, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So the question is, if it took that amount of time, why are it's like you know. The police are trained to drive at high speeds.
Yes.
You know, we all got advanced driver's tests. I've done my advanced driver's test. It reduces your shots, but no, I've passed it. And the police are trained to drive at high speeds. Why aren't referees that are being put in front of VAR screens trained to be able to assess the information and assess the circumstances in a speed parameter, in a speed-based environment, to be able to get past some of the delays that we seem to be having? And they all want belt and braces. It's all like an insurance company.
But
they want to cover their backsides.
But I think the fans would accept it better if there was an occasional one which was 50-50, but in the interest of getting on with the game, you just said, right, we don't think that's clear and obvious. We're moving on. And this is Mark Saggers, Ray Houghton and Matt Murray talking Manchester City and Pep Guardiola on the Sunday exclusive.
Klopp signed a new deal, didn't he? Klopp signed a new deal. And you think if Manchester City are banned, will it affect that little, not keep him necessarily players, but the evolving of the squad that they need to bring players in? Because I said before, I think with Kompany going, that was a big thing for them. And with David Silva, if Aguero, you know, they're going to need to evolve that squad to keep at that level.
But not only Kompany, people tend to forget Laporte got a massive injury. And I think he was, I think they would have coped without.
And they got Silva, of course, David coming to the end as well and what have you.
Yeah, but then they've still got the funds.
They've got everything, and money still talks. But I just feel if they were out for one or even, let's say, 2 years of the Champions League, we know in football at that very highest level, if you stand still, you're left way behind whoever you are.
Well, it could be, but you know, if you've still got Pep Guardiola, you've got one of the best managers in world football. If you're still winning leagues because you've not got European football, they'll be rested. Some of the other big sides of
would he fancy Italy though? I don't know. If Pep seems to me like he likes all the different challenges. Right, I've done Spain, probably done Germany. Yeah. Now I've come to England. Might do Italy. China would be an unbelievable payday. You don't know what he do. Would he want to do international football?
He's
just an unbelievable manager.
He obviously loves language.
I would not be surprised. I don't know at all. And I don't know what he's like. I mean, he's obviously a very intense man, and he's absolutely brilliant at his job. And I know he's very much part of his family. Very much. My understanding is, you know, that the rest of the, I think his daughter's still got education here in the.
His wife's gone back in Barcelona.
Yeah. I think now.
Yeah,
as well.
Which mate. But
people think that. But for the modern day European, of course, they'll be going back to there. And actually, just to get on a plane to go back there is no different to trying to travel.
Probably have his own plane by now.
And the amount of travelling he must do anyway, he's probably hardly ever at home.
And after Manchester United ascended the dizzy heights of fifth in the Premier League when they beat Watford, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer lavished praise on new Portuguese signing Bruno Fernandes.
First of all, he's fit. He's been playing a full season. He's confident. He was in a good form when he came. But he's slotted in nicely. He's a great personality, great character. It's given everyone else around him in the team as well a boost, because we see what kind of qualities he can give the team. And today just shows Man United character by stepping up and wanting the penalty and doing it as he did.
A commanding performance from England in the Six Nations saw them beat Ireland. After the game, Eddie Jones sat down with their own Russ Hargreaves.
We played tough the first 40, probably took our foot off a little bit in the second half, but they were always going to get some ball. They were always going to get some referees' calls. And we had to defend pretty well, which we did. We were disappointed to give that try away at the end. But we'll need to be better against Wales.
Eddie, Elliot Daly playing at 15, no surprise, put in a really strong showing. What did you make of his individual effort?
He's a good player. So it doesn't surprise me.
And then Jonathan Joseph, 50th cap, real twinkle toes on the wing at one point, wasn't he?
Again, no surprise.
You mentioned defence. Some really, really good work, wasn't it, in terms of all round the field, particularly without the ball. How much did that please you?
Our defence was excellent. They're playing a slightly different game, Ireland. I thought we adjusted well to the way they attacked, and Owen led the defence charge brilliantly.
Word on Mauro Itoje, he had a very strong game for me. He seemed to be everywhere and really fired up.
Really good. He wants to take a step up as a leader within the team, and you do that by influencing better performances by the other players, and he led the way today. I thought him and Courtney particularly were outstanding.
This is the Aston Villa boss, Dean Smith, on game day after they lost a relegation six-pointer to Southampton on TalkSport 2. He was speaking to Alex Crook.
Dean, you look thoroughly frustrated both at half time and at the end of the game. Is it fair to say that some home truths have been dished out in the dressing room?
Yeah, they have, but you know, it's not the first time that's the worrying thing this season. You know, the last three away games in the Premier League, we've gone to Brighton, Bournemouth and now Southampton, all on the south coast, and our first 45 minutes in all them games have been poor. You know, and it's all right talking the talk and saying, yeah, we're going to start well, we're going to do this, that. But they haven't shown that today, and I have to take responsibility for that.
How can you legislate for starting so poorly? Because you prepare your team in the right way all week, you work on tactics, and then it really goes out the window, as you say, for that first half.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got personal pride in your performance first and foremost, and you know, they've got to drive that from within, and you know, they've got to take responsibility themselves as well sometimes. But you know, I'm the head of it, and I'll take the brunt of it.
In some ways, will the cup final be a nice distraction next week, or are you fearing the worst because of course you're up against Manchester City?
No, not really. I mean, this was a cup final for us. I've said earlier we've got 14 cup finals now, 13. Now we've got 12 left, you know, and we didn't turn up today in this cup final, and that's a massive disappointment.
You can't afford to start like that at Wembley, can you?
Can't afford to start like that any time you play in the Premier League, you know, and today we got punished for it.
Quiet afternoon for Jack Grealish as well. Was that because he was well shackled by Southampton, or a rare off day?
Well, he got whacked in the first minute and done nothing about it, did they? So, you know, he was, probably wasn't his scintillating best, but, you know, he's a quality player, we know that.
Here's Max and Barry on the warm-up. Guess what? Culverhouse.
Jason Dazelle. Chris Barrett-Williams.
Chris Marsden.
Steve Chettle.
Steve Slade.
Steve Sedgley.
Vinnie Samways.
Steve Agnew.
Michelle Vonk.
Gudni Bergson.
Miksu Patalainen.
Mustafa Hadji.
Yusuf Chippo.
Hassan Kashloul.
Egil Oschlenstadt.
Trevor Morley.
Trevor Peak.
Liam O'Brien.
Darren Peacock.
Richard Shaw.
John Spencer.
Eric Young.
Steve Anthrobus.
Jason Dazelle.
Barry, Ian Gomhouse.
What? Oh no. Oh no. What have I done?
Well, you've either re-dazelled or you've double-dazelled, because I can't remember whether I dazelled or I kiwamied. But either way, Barry, it is a humiliating a defeat. You are feeling how Deontay Wilder is feeling, and fortunately for you, there is a rematch clause you can trigger for next Sunday at 2 minutes to midday.
I will be as magnanimous as in defeat as Deontay Wilder, and it wouldn't do you any harm to be as magnanimous in victory as Tyson Fury was.
A long, long time ago, I can still...
Hi, I'm Laura Woods, and this is TalkSport Daily. And don't forget, you can listen to me every Saturday night from 7:30 on Game Day Your Verdict with Darren Bent.
This is the Moose with the Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta after they beat Everton 3-2 at the Emirates.
Well, that's what we've all been demanding, that we had to put draws into wins. And we are closing those margins to win... instead of drawing, and the resilience that we showed today after playing three times in 7 days, it was great.
Well, that was just brilliant, wasn't it? And that was the TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, Danny Kelly. Remember the name, Danny Kelly. And don't forget, you can download this pod via Acast, Spotify and Apple Pods. Now, there'll be another one of these the same time tomorrow, and Andy Goldstein will slump back into the chair and we can finish where we started. Tyson Fury and a Don McLean classic.
Oh!
save your mother's soul, and can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that I'm in love with you, cause I saw you dancing in the gym. We both kicked off our shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. Oh, I barking buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. See, I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. Thank you, Las Vegas!
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.